I'm going to begin to share this morning from the Gospel of Luke, the 8th chapter. I have several passages that I want to read, but initially two. Luke chapter 8, verse 26. Luke chapter 11, verse 14. If you will find those two places, please. Luke 8, 26. Luke 11, 14. I want to talk to you today about spirits. As I begin to share from the Word of God, you may think it's a strange message, particularly at the Christmas season. But if you'll hang in there with me, I believe that you will see, you'll be able to determine the direction that we're going in just a few moments. Luke chapter 8, verse number 26, begins the story that we have come to know as the story of the demoniac of Gadara. Jesus and his disciples had just crossed the Sea of Galilee, and they arrived on the other side. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. There was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them, or allowed them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. Notice that. Out of the man, into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake, and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled, and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Now the phrase there, possessed with the devils, is probably better translated demonized. The actual word possessed is not in the Greek. This man was demonized. And whether he's possessed, oppressed, harassed, or whatever, he was having trouble with devils. Now if you'll turn over, please, to the 11th chapter of Luke. Let me read this passage beginning in the 14th verse, Luke 11, verse 14, and then we'll share just a few moments. And he, Jesus, was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. They were amazed. But some of them said, "He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of devils." And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God, or the Spirit of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, And he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest. And finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house, whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now, those two stories give us some insight into how things operate in the spirit world and what spirits are and how they manifest themselves. First of all, I want you to notice that devils in both of these stories had to be cast out. That means that they had occupied a place in the lives of people. They live inside men and women, boys and girls, and animals. And they have no rest unless they can rest inside an earthbound creature, a man or an animal. Spirits are disembodied. Do you know what the word disembodied means? They have no bodies of their own. Therefore, if a dumb spirit wants to manifest his dumbness, he cannot manifest it all by himself. He needs a person in whom he may dwell, through whom he may manifest his character and his nature. Jesus found a man who was dumb. He couldn't speak. When he cast out the dumb spirit, what happened? He spoke. That spirit no longer could manifest his character on the earth because he had not a person with whom he could show himself or through whom he could illustrate his nature and character. The man in the story from Luke 8, the Gadarene demoniac, was a man who ran around naked. We're told in the Mark's Gospel in the 5th chapter that he lived in a cemetery, among graves, among dead men's bones. And he was a man that had no clothes. Do you notice how the gospel, what the gospel refers to the demon that possessed him? As an unclean spirit, a dirty spirit that caused this man to take his clothes off and expose himself and would not permit the man to wear any clothing. Devils are demon spirits without bodies that cannot express themselves in the earth unless they have a mortal creature in whom they may dwell or through whom they may manifest their personality. And so a dumb spirit cannot express himself unless he has a person through whom he may manifest himself or show himself. An unclean spirit, an immoral spirit, a lustful spirit, an unbelieving spirit, a spirit of fear, a terror spirit, a tormenting spirit, has no mission or no ministry or no work in the earth unless he may do his work through those who are here on the earth. You see, spirits have no authority in the earth. Men have authority here. When God created the earth, he put man in it, and he gave to his man dominion over the earth. And in order for the devil to work in the earth, he must work through men. Now, the first story is interesting because it shows us that devils, when they cannot work through men, will work through animals. And in this particular, you say, Pastor, you have gone off the deep end. Well, I've just gone deep into the Word, that's all. You ever seen a demon-possessed dog? Who I have. Oh, you betcha. You betcha. If you've ever carried the mail, you've seen demon-possessed dogs. Or if you have ever done visitation, you've seen some demon-possessed dogs. Amen? If you've ever done much jogging, you've seen some demon-possessed dogs. Yes, there can't. I used to have a demon-possessed horse. You say, Pastor, you're nuts. Well, they also today think that this Bible is nuts when it says that there was a herd of demon-possessed pigs. Now, pigs don't run off a cliff and kill themselves in the lake. I don't know if you know how all animals can swim. And these pigs didn't drown. You notice what Luke says? The pigs choked themselves. Literally, when a pig swims, this is our biology lesson for today. When a pig swims, he cuts himself in the throat with his front feet. He rips himself open because pigs have great jowls like this. They have sharp front feet. And they know how to swim, but they'll literally kill themselves when they try to swim. And it's interesting that Luke, you see, God's Spirit is just accurate enough just to record this word exactly perfectly. You can believe what the Word of God says whether you understand it or not. It didn't say the pigs drowned. It said they choked themselves. They literally suffocated because they cut their throats. And when most today would read this passage, they would say that the demoniac of Gadara was a mentally ill man. He just had mental disease and we need to put him in one of our hospitals. But I've never had anyone be able to answer me about mentally ill pigs and explain how a herd of pigs could be mentally diseased instantly like that when Jesus cast the devil out of this demonized man. Did you notice that in the 11th chapter that we read Jesus, the words of Jesus when he said in the 24th verse, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, finding no rest, he can find no resting place. Demon spirits are unsettled until they find rest in a person. Why does a husband beat his wife? Why does a man beat his children within an inch of their life? Why do men use children as sexual objects? Why do women sell their bodies? Why would a man or a woman or a young person shoot himself up with drugs? Why do those things go on? What do you think causes that? What causes a man's mouth to be so dirty and so profane? What causes a man's language to be so filled with four-letter words that you can't be around him 30 seconds and he's given you a string of blue? What possesses people to act like the devil? What's the answer? The devil. The devil. Yes, demon spirits are real. Yes, they do work on us. Yes, they do attempt to find a place of residence and rest where they may rest from their searching and rest from their seeking and do their pernicious things and their filthy deeds and occupy the human race in such a way to manifest forth to the world the nature of their father, the devil. That's what they want. Well, certainly, Pastor, not children. You read the story in the Gospel of Mark about the man who had an epileptic boy and who the devil had taken and thrown him into the fire trying to burn him and thrown him into water trying to drown him. The child had seemingly a self-destroying spirit. Jesus commanded a demon to come out of that boy. When he did, he was free. He asked the father, how long has the boy been like this? And the father said, of a child, ever since he was a child, he's been like that. The devil is no respecter of persons, and he will occupy any person who will allow him, whether it's by invitation or whether it is by ignorance. Now, the point I want to make this morning is not primarily the one I just did about the existence of demon spirits and how they work and so on. But what I wanted to point out to you today, so that we may make another application of it, is that spirits are disembodied. They may not express themselves in the world without a human form or a human person through which they can manifest their nature and character. The devil is seeking whom he may devour. Jesus said, even when he's cast out, that since he cannot find any rest, he returns to the house from whence he came. If you'll notice the language is very possessive. Jesus said that demon says, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he comes, he finds the house empty. Nothing has moved in to replace the position that he occupied in that life. And he goes and gathers seven other more with him, more wicked than himself, and enters in. The last state of that man is worse than the first. People act like the devil because they're under the influence of the devil. Now, understanding that helped me to understand something very significant, I think, about God. Jesus told the woman at the well in John chapter 4, verse 24, God is a spirit. He went on to say, those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. God is a spirit. What does that mean? That means that he's without a body. That means he's without the means by which he may express his nature. He's without the facility to manifest himself and express his character in the earth. It means that when he wants to show his love, and when he wants to show his power, and when he wants to show his mercy, and when he wants to show his compassion, and his peace, and his joy, and his tenderness, and his forgiveness, he must have a man through whom he may express that. And so the Bible tells us that God had a plan. The plan involved a young Jewish girl by the name of Mary. And upon this girl, because of her willingness, the Holy Spirit came and brooded over her and overshadowed her, is the word that the angel used. And inside her womb was conceived a man through whom God would be shown in the world and in the earth. And when this man was born, he would be the Word made flesh. And we beheld him, the Bible says, full of glory and truth, as of the only begotten of the Father. What does that mean? It means that when Jesus came for the first time, the nature and the character of God Almighty himself was expressed in the earth. And when he went from place to place and healed the sick and cast out the devils and fed the hungry and loved the unlovely and forgave the sinner and set at liberty those that were bound, what he was doing was expressing the nature and the character of God Almighty. For the Spirit of God had possessed a man. The Spirit of the Lord had occupied a man and had come to dwell inside a man. And he went everywhere in his known world at that time and showed forth the nature and the character and the glory of God. Gospel of John, chapter number 1, 2 verses. Gospel of John, chapter 1, first of all, verse 14, the one that I quoted just a moment ago. And the Word was made flesh. Verse 1 says the Word was God. Verse 14 says the Word, or God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. The word declared literally means unfolded. When Jesus came, he unfolded God. He unfolded the nature of God. The Spirit of God indwelt him, and that which he did was common to the nature and the character of God Almighty. If you want to know God, you've got to know Jesus Christ. If you want to experience God, you've got to experience Jesus Christ. If you want to receive God in a personal way in your life, you must receive Jesus Christ, for he is God made flesh. He is God, the Spirit of God, imparted to a man. you want to know what God is like, you must know Jesus Christ. And so he could say, no man cometh unto the Father unless he comes by me. John 14 and verse 9, he said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Colossians is another very good reference there. Let's just turn over to it. I think we'll share it this morning. Colossians chapter 1. There are several verses here in Colossians, but I think this first one is probably the most dynamic. Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to read several verses to get the context. Beloved, this is what Christmas is all about. Christmas is not a baby in a manger. Christmas is the Almighty God, the Spirit that created all things, the eternal Spirit of God coming and dwelling in a man. That's what Christmas is all about. Away in that manger lived a man, or was born a man, possessed by a holy spirit rather than an unholy spirit. Beginning to read in the 12th verse, Colossians 1. Giving thanks unto the Father which made us meet or qualified or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, from Satan's power, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15 is the one with the power in it, in this particular idea, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Listen to that. Who is the image of the invisible God? What is an image? It is something you can see. An image is something that you can perceive. An image is something which is real and touchable with your senses. Jesus Christ is the visible expression of the invisible God. God Almighty possessed the body of a man and demonstrated his nature and character in all of its fullness to all mankind forever. And so today, you have this very definite line drawn among the community of man. You have those who are after the nature of their father God, and you have those who are after the nature of their father the devil. And the conflict is very real, and the conflict is very strong, and sometimes it's in our very homes. And there's a battle line drawn. The 19th verse tells us that it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. In Jesus should dwell everything that is God. Everything. And in the 9th and 10th verse of chapter 2, same letter, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What does that say? Everything that God is in spirit, Jesus is in body. All that the Godhead is, Jesus is here on the earth. And then the 10th verse gives us an interesting twist when it says, and ye are complete in him. Do you know God wants to possess you? Do you know he wants to possess you? He wants you to yield yourself and to surrender yourself to him totally and completely, that he may possess you and dwell inside you in such an unhindered fullness that he may show himself to your world. He wants to show himself to your wife. He wants to show himself to your husband. He wants to show himself to your children. He wants to show himself through you to your neighbors, to your boss, to your subordinates, to your neighbors. The only way that God has to reach the human race today is through you. The only way that the Spirit of God may find expression in the earth is through those who have allowed him to dwell inside them. This is precisely why Jesus said, he that believeth on me will do greater works than I do, because I go to my Father. The Spirit of my Father will come and dwell on the inside of you, and you will truly be sons and daughters of God just as I am. What's God's purpose for you? What does God want to do in your life? He wants you to not only be available to Him, He wants you to be open to Him. He wants you to be so fully open that He may dwell in you in His fullness, full of grace and truth, that the world around about you may behold the glory of whom? Of God. That the world may see not the glory of Bruce Ophi or Lori Gardner or Ron Moon or Joy Reynolds or Vic Rockhill, but they would see the glory of God. We hear a lot about being demon-possessed, but we don't hear very much about being God-possessed. We need to hear more about being Holy Ghost possessed. I want the Holy Ghost to possess me to the degree. Did you notice how that demon spoke through that man's mouth? Spoke through his mouth. The man came and fell down at Jesus' feet. That devil had such a power over that man that when he opened his mouth, the devil talked. You ever wonder how much you're listening to the devil when you hear people talk around about you? I want God to talk through my lips. I want the words of God to come through. I'm not talking about just quoting the scripture. I want the nature and the character of the Lord God Himself to so possess me that when I open my mouth, that's what will come out. When I open my eyes, that's what I see. Spirits, whether they be good spirits or evil spirits, require bodies in which to express themselves. I want to ask you a question. When the Bible says that there'll come a day when the glory of God will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea, how do you suppose that's going to happen? Is it just going to be kind of a cloud that just covers the whole earth? Is that the way? That's not the way. God's people are going to be so filled with the Holy Ghost. God's people are going to be so Christ-like. They're going to be so full of grace and truth and show so much forth of the glory of God that everywhere they are, the glory of God just surrounds and just covers the whole earth where they are. Isaiah prophesied to the church. He said, "Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." That's the way God's glory is going to get all over the earth. We need to be open to Him. Philippians chapter 2. Verse number 13. Philippians chapter 2. Verse number 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. Why? Is God a disputer? Is He a murmurer? Why should we do all things without murmuring and disputing? Because it's not God-like. It's not like Him. And God's inside you to do His pleasure. Verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, without correction, without a reason to be corrected, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Matthew chapter 5. Very clear, isn't it? All God's truths are like that. Simple, straightforward, and clear. Men complicate them. The Holy Spirit simplifies it. Matthew chapter 5, this very familiar passage, and I can't help but quote it as we discuss this subject this morning. Verse 14 and following. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all, underline the word, all that are in the house. What's Jesus saying? God didn't light a candle in you to put it under a bushel. He lit the candle of Himself and His nature and character inside you, and it's His desire to put you in a place where that light will shine. Don't you jump underneath a bushel. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Beloved, it matters what you do. The kind of life that you live, The way you talk, the way you walk, the way you act, the nature and character that you project, it matters. You will either manifest the nature of God in your life, or you will manifest the nature of the devil. You will have one or the other, or you'll have a mix of the two. We have a good deal of that. It ought not to be such. James said a fountain does not bring forth both sweet water and brackish at the same place. It ought not to be so. Unfortunately, it is so in the lives of many people. Shouldn't be that way, but it is. You will manifest the nature of some spirit in your life. And it will either be the spirit of God or it'll be the spirit of the devil. Would you turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 12 for one final instruction. Romans chapter 12, reading one verse. I'm concerned today lest someone would begin to try to project the nature and the character of God and be simply frustrated with it, and that's exactly what will happen. If you try to be godlike, you will frustrate yourself until you throw up your hands in utter despair. You are not God. You're a man, or woman, as the case may be. And it is the nature of God that is manifested through you, and He's the one that does it. We have a great many in the Christian church who believe that they should be Christ-like, and so they're out doing this Christ-like thing, and that Christ-like thing, and this Christ-like thing, so I'll be Christ-like. And that's the opposite of being Christ-like. You can't do it for Him. You simply make yourself available so that He may do it through you. I'm going to tell you something. If you go out and try to do God's work on your own, you are going to break something real bad.
It will be wonderful. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you. Let's read verse 36 of the previous chapter. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, because of what I've just said, because of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, and all glory is His, therefore I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. He didn't say that you'd go be godlike. He didn't say that you'd go and do God's thing. He said that you would present yourself a living sacrifice. When they made a sacrifice in that day, do you know what they did with it? Before they burned it, what did they do? They killed it. They killed it. They killed it. This is not a willing vessel he's talking about. This is a dead one. One that doesn't have any will of its own, but whose will is surrendered to the Lord. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Still alive, but dead in terms of your own desires and your own works. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What does God want to do? God wants to show the people around you His love. He wants to show the people around you His peace. He wants to show the people around you His power. He wants to show the people around you His mercy and His compassion. He wants to show the people around you His ability to solve life's problems. He wants to express Himself through all of the facets of your life in ways that you may be the visible image of the invisible God. Now I want you to ask yourself this morning, how did you come to know Jesus Christ in a personal way? Did you never know any Christians? Had you never been in a church? Were you just bopping down the street one day and God just kind of dropped in on you? Is that the way it happened? No. Didn't happen that way. Someone witnessed to you. You saw in somebody's life. You saw the power of God in operation there. You found out what it was. It was Jesus Christ. You said, I want it. You took him as your personal Lord and your personal Savior, and then he began to express himself through you. He changed you. You no longer talked like you used to. You no longer thought like you used to. You no longer acted like you used to. Why? Because you were new, you were changed, you were born again, and now you're expressing a new spirit. That's God's purpose and God's will for you. And that's what Christmas means, as far as I'm concerned. When Jesus came, he was the first of many brothers. He was the first one who expressed in the earth the nature of God. We read the Old Testament and we read about the Moses and the Davids and the Isaiahs and the Samsons and the great men of God, but I can tell you, I would not have wanted to live prior to the day that Jesus was born. I would not have wanted to live on the earth any time back then. I like living now. I like living with God's Spirit dwelling in me. I want him to possess me, don't you? Let's bow our heads just a moment.